And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show, where, yes, we have another Orangeman. The broadcast world is just full of Orangemen. We have Mr. Kevin Fitzgerald, play-by-play broadcaster of ESPN, originally from Hillsboro, New Jersey. Kevin, welcome to the Greg Herenda Show.
Coach, it's great to be with you, and terrific tunes
yes.
to welcome us back here. Well done.
Oh, man, you need walk-up music and nothing better than Syracuse. Just, I've talked to a number of guys, and we've had them on our show. Like, what is it? Is it just a monopoly or a factory, or what is it about Syracuse and broadcasting? I mean, it's just... It's incredible, the numbers. It's probably not as great as I think, but it just seems like every great broadcaster that we've had on the show that you talk about, there's a derivative of Syracuse. Tell me the genesis of that. Why? How? Explain it to our audience.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think there's such an incredible history
right.
of some of the best broadcasters that have went there. You know, we're walking around the Newhouse School of Communications, or we're walking around the legendary radio station at called W8ER, and it's like, oh, there's Mike Tirico and there's
right.
Sean McDonough, and you know, there's
Costas,
there's
was Costas, right?
It's amazing when you see the individuals and Hall of Fame broadcasters.
Who was the first? Let me test your history. Who was like the guy? Who was the Babe Ruth and the Lou Gehrig? Tell me about the, I don't know if it was the 20s or the 30s or the 50s, but like who was, did Marv Albert go to Syracuse?
Yes, he did. And he, you know, you would think he is perhaps the one there to answer your question, but you got to go back. This is what I think, and
okay.
I think it's Marty Glickman.
No.
If you remember the name Marty Glickman.
I know Marty. Marty used to do the radio for the Jets when the Jets were so bad, and Marty was getting older. Now, people don't know, and I'm going to quiz you, Kev. Marty Glickman was a proficient blank athlete. Do you know what kind of athlete he was?
Let me tell you, I know he played football, and I think he did a little might have done
track.
Some track and field there, too.
Track.
But he was, an amazing,
track.
Right? Just a jack of all trades.
His voice, he did the Jets when, like, Richard Todd and Castor was catching the ball, and his voice, and I'm before me. Back in the 50s and 60s, he was the man. So, yeah, no, I know Marty Glickman well. Legend. I mean, legend.
Here's why Marty had it great. He used to call Knicks games when the Knicks actually used to do that thing called winning back
right.
in the day.
No.
He was before Marv. He was the one who basically invented, if you will, the vernacular. I mean, he was the one who was first tasked, essentially, with describing – okay, the key, baseline, the dribble drive. I mean, all of these
right.
phrases that
no,
we
he
use
was
on
an
television
athlete. Yes.
or radio, it derived from Marty.
Yes. And now what's the hook now? Like once you graduate from Syracuse, it's like I coached in the Ivy League. You know, you had the Skull and Bones. You had that clandestine group that would make phone calls for you all over the United States to get you jobs. Is that what happens at Syracuse? Do people just get placed, or it looks like you've obviously worked to get where you are, Kevin, but what kind of vehicles does Syracuse provide?
Yeah, it provides the resources, I think, to be really good at this. You know, I think if when you're at Syracuse, I mentioned you see the history and you
right.
see the Hall of Famers around you, and that's motivating. You know, I think I feel very lucky that I feel very fortunate to have been in that environment, because I think that was where we all have kind of a competitive fire, right? When we're in this industry,
no
broadcasting, coaching, whatever it is.
Yep.
And I think that's what really stirred that in me. When you go to Syracuse and you walk away with that degree and you pursue a career in this industry,
yep.
look at the individuals that have come before you.
That's right.
There is a precedent that is set, and I think that really motivates. I know it motivated me, and
yes.
And I think it's the precedent, right? Like, you know how good you have to be. You know
right.
how much you have to work to reach the levels of some of the folks that we have just mentioned, all those names.
Sure.
And I can speak firsthand to it. You know, we were there is a student radio station at Syracuse that is anything but student or amateur It is a professionally run station. It really
yes.
is. And so that's where the precedent is set. You know, it's passed down from the sports director to the kid just learning the ropes to the freshman who's just getting started.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a legacy,
and I'm sure it could align with what you're familiar with, like you said, in the Ivy League when you walk away from a institutions like that.
And may I say, Kenny, WFDU has our tradition and our legacy. I would love Kevin. I know, and again, we go out to Kentucky to do a game, and Kevin is doing the game. And guess what? This dude is from New Jersey. And WFDU, our station, is killer, man. Kenny O'Boyle is my engineer and the general manager. Kenny, let's toot our horn, just like Kevin just tooted Syracuse's horn a little bit.
Well, we don't have quite the list of characters
okay.
that have come out of WFDU, but a couple of people, not quite in the sports casting arena, but more in pop radio. TJ Taramina. Was with the Elvis Duran
yep.
Morning Show, hosts his own show now at Boston, 103.3 Amp Radio. Greg T, the frat boy, who's now the morning man on Fresh 102.7.
Yep.
He came from WFDU. So those are the two big ones. And then me, of course.
But our station, Kevin, here is just a legendary. It's right in the, basically, in the dorm, the older dorms. It's in the courts here on campus. It's,
yeah, we have a strong signal. We have quite a listenership. Our latest ratings show over 80,000 people tuning into the radio station in a given week. So we're pretty proud of this
place, for sure. We're definitely we're not Syracuse, but we are who we are, and we're proud of it. But so I meet
yes.
Kenny, I meet Kevin and Dane Bradshaw. They're doing and they come to our shoot around at Rupp. The day of Kentucky, and these guys, the reason I asked them, great guy, I mean, young, on the, like, cutting edge, good dudes, and of course, Kevin is from New Jersey, and Kevin, you did some Rutgers basketball, give me your latest, and then we'll go back to the origin of your broadcasting, but give me Rutgers athletics. You did play-by-play for basketball, and this is, I've never heard this before, Kev, wrestling. How do you, what, you have to be good to broadcast wrestling. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. All right, Rutgers on top, Penn State underneath.
I got to tell you.
2 points for release. Come on, man.
Well, and here's where you start. You work with a good analyst. I'll tell you, I still remember him. I did some wrestling. His
what
name was
his name?
Sean D. Dine. And he was
Sean, what was his last name?
Sean D. Dine.
Okay.
Great wrestler at Rutgers.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you know, if you've got some good people around you, I know Sean knows his avenue there, so whenever I could set him up. But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
That program is one of the best year in and year out. I mean, that is a perennial power. And Big Ten wrestling, come on now. That's the cream of the crop.
Huge.
But it was a blast,
Iowa.
Let me tell you. And I was lucky that we did some good games and saw Rutgers upset. Gosh, this is years ago now.
Yeah.
I want to say it was a ranked Wisconsin team. And,
right.
And great coaching staff there at Rutgers. And they're still there. They've been there forever. But, it was a blast. I'll tell you, the rack, you want to talk about the rack, it's rocking. They have some wrestling meets in there.
Vermont women's basketball up in Burlington. Tell me about Vermont.
One of the most beautiful places that I have lived in. I feel lucky. That was my first job out of school.
Exactly.
Was calling women's basketball games for the University of Vermont. Burlington is a terrific city. It's right on Lake Champlain. You got some good food. Now it's cold.
We're
getting back from.
It's really cold. I went to Merrimack, and we used to play St. Michael's in Winooski, which is basically on the same campus as Vermont. And Kenny, in the winter, as cold is an understatement. and you hosted a weekly 30-minute coaches show. Who was the coach that you hosted it with, Kev?
Her name is Lori Gear McBride, and, okay. and she was the old coach at the University of Vermont, but played at North Carolina, won a national title down there. So it was great. I could not have asked for a better experience just right out of school, and it was a great place to learn. Yes. We're calling games, but yeah, Coach, you remember those nights, right?
That's
when you get
right.
back from Orono, Maine at like 4 in the morning, you walk to the car, it says like -9 on the dashboard.
Yes.
You're like, I need to get back to the heat very quickly.
I'm telling you. And now tell me about when you were at Syracuse, you were probably a jack of all trades, but you did some football, basketball. You're a huge lacrosse guy. Give me a Syracuse story that you went to do an interview or something. Just give me something that happened when you were a kid, when you were a student, you didn't know how to handle it, and you had to get out of a jam. Give me something good, Kev.
Well, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I think, you know, as students there, you're always learning, right? I'll look at it kind of from a big picture standpoint. I think a lot of us, when you're young, you're a student there.
Right.
You want to accomplish so much. And you know, I think the biggest thing for me was just remembering that, hey, there is a process. You walk around with confidence, right? Everybody has confidence. But I think
right.
at a place like Syracuse, you'll learn, you know, there's a process. There is a way to be great. You know, there is a way to
yep.
earn your stripes, if you will, and earn the opportunities. I would look at that from a bigger picture standpoint. I think there is,
yep.
you learn quickly, hey, there are some really talented individuals as well. There's a lot of them. So you learn
sure.
to work together. You learn to put a broadcast together.
Yep.
I think that's a great example of why Syracuse is such a nice place to be at. You know, the everybody individually comes together, the egos are put aside, and you
right.
put a broadcast together that's professional quality. So I think learning that, you know, in my first couple of years is really valuable because you just
That's
carry
awesome.
That into, you carry that with you as you leave school and you enter the workplace, right? Really funny story, too. You talk about,
yep.
you know, we're talking about all these great names in broadcasting. I'll never forget,
right.
I was a senior. Syracuse was playing St. John's down at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, great.
In strolls Bill Raftery and Gus Johnson calling the game. So we had a
the
chance
man.
To sit down and talk to Gus and Bill, and there is no conversation like a
better.
Conversation with
he's
Gus
the,
Johnson
he's the one,
and Bill Raftery.
That's the one we've had Raf on. I know Raf since I was 17 years old, but I have tried, and I've had so many Fox. We're really connected to Fox Sports, especially out in L.A., I can't mm-hmm. get Gus. I'm trying to get Gus on the show. It's going to happen, but Raf is an absolute legend. So you were at a young age dealing with really, really big, you know, celebrities in the business. But what really intrigues me looking at your resume is that you were the sports talk director, okay, for a radio show, a call-in radio show in Syracuse. And you gotta,
yep.
there's gotta be some classic calls. Like, after, like, Boeheim loses a big game, people are probably crushing his zone, or they're crushing Syracuse football, or on the other hand, they're probably defending everything that Syracuse does. Give me some Syracuse radio phone calls that you've taken, or episodes while you were the director there that kind of like made you grow up quickly.
Oh my gosh. Well, you hit the nail on the head. When you go to a place like Syracuse or any large institution, heck, you just mentioned Kentucky. Yep. When you are dealing with passionate fan bases, they bring the passion, right?
Yes.
So that's fun. But I'll tell you, that is how you really, I always enjoyed hosting a show, and the show I hosted, it was called, and it's got the same time slot. It's
yep.
been passed down, you know, year after year and class after class
yep.
called Call It a Wrap. It was Sunday night. It was 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So we were kind of the late
great.
Night overnight show. We had
yep.
some fun. We talked some sports. But you learn so you learn quickly about the passion, right? I mean,
right.
that's what's really fun is that,
yeah.
Heck, it's a, you know, there's a loss to, oh gosh, God forbid there was a loss to Georgetown, right? During
Forget the season. It
was like the sky was falling.
It's funny.
But I always enjoyed the passion.
How much interaction did you have with Jim Boeheim? Did you have did he let you in, or was it distant, or because I know at times now, I know Jim, and I've been in his company. I've hit golf balls with him. I've had dinner with him. I really like the guy. People don't know him, but I know he's pulled all the time. And did he kind of big time you guys, or was he endearing to you guys at Call It a Wrap, or just to the media in Syracuse? What's the lowdown there?
Yep, he was always good to us. He was always good to us. And again, as a student station, we were still broadcasting the games as well. So
Wow. We
would go attend the post game. Yeah, we would go attend Jim's post game press conference. We would go to his weekly media sessions. And yeah, there is no Syracuse experience as a student without kind of getting the business from Jim Boeheim when he thinks your question is not up to par.
It's off the
wall. Like that is a right. That is
yeah. You got to get whacked by Boeheim
at Syracuse. So I had one or two. I think kind of came back, returned to center. But then you start to learn, right? It's like, hey, how do I need to phrase this to get the response that will be a thoughtful one, but then it's like, it's kind of earning your stripes, right? It's just growing.
No question.
No, always good to us, but there's one thing that you can say about Jim Boeheim. He will be honest with you. he will be honest with
Amen.
You when you ask
your
question, for sure.
How about
not
this,
holding anything back.
Kenny, how about this 2014, Kevin, you were awarded the Jim Nance Award, ranked as the nation's most outstanding collegiate sports broadcaster of the year, and one of the top 30 young sportscasters. So you're like, come on, man, you're big time, and you're kind of always lowballing who you are and what you do. I mean, what's the next step for you? I mean, it just seems like, you're ascending to another level. What's the next plateau for a Kevin Fitzgerald, if you don't mind me asking?
Hey, let me tell you, it was joining the Greg Herenda show. I'll tell you, and I am
good answer.
Like that was the next.
Good answer.
No, because it's nice of you to bring that up. I think it's just continuing to work. I tell you, I absolutely love the work that I do with ESPN. I feel really, really fortunate, privileged to be able to call games, run into individuals like yourself, Coach. I think that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Is that, I do feel fortunate. We meet you. We're at Rupp Arena. We're taking in a Kentucky practice. We're talking with Coach Cal. We're talking
yes.
with yourself. To me, it's just, it's just kind of growing the relationship. I love this part. I love getting to meet with you. We're talking X's and O's. We're talking Bruce Springsteen. I can't let you get away without bringing that one up, Coach. I love you had Bruce Springsteen there on the playlist when you were walking.
I'm a little
more of a Bon Jovi guy.
Well, Bon Jovi, you're a younger dude. He's another Jersey guy. I like him lately, too. He's not, like, coloring his hair. Like, hasn't he gone, like, I saw him lately. He's just gray now. But Bon Jovi. I'm sorry.
You see what hanging with Bob Kraft does to you, right? He's not color. I know he's a big Patriots fan, unfortunately. So I think he's taking a book out of the
Kenny Bon Jovi is a Patriots fan.
Well, I know he's hanging out with Bob Kraft all the time. I thought he was
all
an Eagles.
The time,
I thought he was an Eagles fan.
You know what?
He's from down in South Jersey.
But I took my son when I first got down here to a Giants practice, and he was at the Giants practice wearing a Giant jersey.
I think
so. He's a chameleon, this guy.
He's got a lot of different color laundry, I think.
Kevin, tell me this. You saw our team play once, and obviously it did not go as planned. Was there anything that excited you about our team, about Fairleigh Dickinson, about the burgundy and blue, that now you'll pay attention a little more as we get into league play? Putting you on the spot.
No, no, absolutely. Well, we talked about Jahlil, and I thought, like you said, it was a little one-sided there out in Lexington. But I still like Jahlil's. I like his presence, and I'll tell
I
was really impressed with Bishop. Like, he's got some versatility, and he can step out and hit some shots.
You know why
he did that?
You're right.
I saw he did that in last night's game. So, he wasn't. There was no hesitation. I thought from some of those guys like Jenkins and Bishop and.
Yeah.
To walk into a place like Rupp and say, "Hey, we're gonna take some shots," and sometimes that happens, right?
They just
don't fall.
And
Bishop's got to.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
And Caleb, we picked and popped with him, and he had like two or three really good looks. that if the ball goes in the basket, it's, you know, it's a different, you know, we played with them probably for like 12 minutes, and then you miss shots, and then transition gets involved, and then you get behind, and then you take a few more bad shots, and then it's like the Rupp, it's the volcano, and but no, and we had seven block shots against Kentucky. Now, block shots are good to have, but block shots mean that you have to protect the rim, which the ball's getting by our perimeter, you know, defenders. But at the end of the day, Kevin, and you know this, and Dane did a great job. You guys were tremendous together. Those games prepare us for our league and prepare us for March. They're financially advantageous. But the memories of going to Rupp and Kenny, this place, just and they asked me in my post-game press conference, what was it about Rupp that the size, it just it goes to the heavens. It just doesn't stop. And the families, it's every there's not just kids, there's not older people, there's not younger people, there's generations of faces that are painted that bleed Kentucky blue, man. It was really it was a great experience for our team. And you know, meeting you guys was really, really special. I got to have Dane back on the show. The program engineer, the game engineer, who was the producer, I should say, that I met.
Yeah, that's right. Andy Bach.
Yep. Andy, tell Andy I said what's up.
I will.
But I really think, like, ESPN has so many good young guys that have played. But also, I love the Jersey guys that go to Syracuse that just work themselves up, and you're a star now. But obviously, I think that you're a future star that can get bigger and bigger, and that's what the Greg Herenda Show is about. The genesis of Kevin Fitzgerald. Kevin, I can't thank you enough, man. You're a good Jersey guy. I appreciate you looking out for FDU and coming on the Greg Herenda Show.
Hey, Coach, it's kind of you to say. Great to be here. I'll keep an eye on the schedule. Going to hope to catch you guys at some point up in Jersey this season.
No question, man. You're always welcome. And we'll be back for more of the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hey, this is Kevin Fitzgerald with ESPN. When I'm rolling around Teaneck, you know I'm always listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFDU.